Blog Talk Radio.
Actually, yeah. I mean, I'm ready on this end. But
I'm ready on this end.
Okay. Well, let me...
I think we're live. We better do something.
It's 7 o'clock. It is August 27th, 2009. If it's 2010, you're not listening to the live show. So here, let me try.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio. A weekly call-in talk show presented each Thursday from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. Eastern. Featuring Ron with Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. We encourage listeners to call and participate during this hour-long broadcast. Dial 646-727-3235. 646-727-3235 anytime during the show. Winery location, contact information, and upcoming events are presented at the end of the show. Sit back, relax, and join us with a glass of world-class wine made right here in Florida. And now, vineyardist, tasting expert, cellar master, and winemaker with Florida Estates Winery, here's Ron.
Thank you. There they are. There they are.
How's the crowd tonight?
Okay, settle down. There they go with that clapping again.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
They're really enthusiastic today. I think because we allowed them to come inside and...
get out of the rain.
Get out of the rain, because it is, we do have a rain outside, and I heard it was raining pretty heavy where you're at.
Yes,
and,
yes.
But
rain all over the area, all over the world.
a little broad statement there, but
yeah,
worldwide.
The world, we know it. It's raining.
Yes, and it's so we had 3 busloads, and I said, you know what? Let's just move them inside, get them out of
good.
The weather. We set up 3 chairs. There's like 60 people out there, and
they have their wine.
Whoever, yes, they do have their wine. Someone was hanging from the ceiling fan. They got down. Okay, good. So we are. It's a wild bunch.
I hear that.
So we are. Oh, but I didn't put them back on there. Okay. So we are. We're back, and we have Ron with Florida Estates Winery. We'll have the contact information coming up in a bit. Again, if you'd like to call in and get on the show, please do so. Call us at area code 646-727-3235. If you need a pen, message me, and I will upload a pen to you so you can write that down. 646-727-3235. We'll be here till 8 p.m. We can go a little bit longer if we need to, but 8 p.m. is usually the cutoff time, and we're ready to go. This week's topic, Ron, is?
France. Actually, we're going to start France and go into the first region of Bordeaux of France and discuss Bordeaux tonight. But France will be spread out over probably about 3 weeks.
Wow.
Because it is a big area to talk about wine.
So you're saying, like, the French do a lot of wine then?
The French, yeah, they tend to be known for some wine, yeah.
For some? Okay.
Yeah.
Should I do the breaking news thing? By the way, France is known for wine.
France is known for wine.
Okay. Yeah. So give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Chat with us in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio. /ChicoDog, DAWG is the last three. Or you can call the Skype digital phone at area code 813-990-0741. If you're in the Tampa Bay area, that's a free call. Everywhere else, it's like, I don't know, $10. I don't know what it is, but just give us a call. And we have, technically, we have an hour and 26 minutes left, but we'll try and be done. Hopefully, 8 o'clock, we'll come around and go ahead. We're ready to go with France. We'll get going with France. There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Crown. For French wine, first thing I want to do, I want to point out, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this before or not, but there are 2 major belts in the world where most all wine is produced. You can look at the map of the world, and you can go the longitude, which is the circles around the Earth. Mm-hmm. Or is that the latitude?
Longitude is north and south. Latitude,
latitude
is
east-west.
Yes.
Okay, then it's the latitude. I knew I said it wrong once.
Okay.
I said it. You can go look at the latitude on maps. And on the southern hemisphere, between 30 degrees south and 40 degrees south, you have almost every one of your wine-growing districts.
Wow.
That includes all of the major ones in South America, Chile, Brazil, Argentina, most of wine-growing areas. South Africa falls within that area, as does Australia and most of the areas of New Zealand. So in the southern hemisphere, 30 degrees south, 40 degrees south, pretty much covers everything. In the northern hemisphere, 50 degrees north to 40 degrees north is most of them, although you can go down to 30 degrees north to include actually just about everything. But 50 degrees north to 40 degrees north includes all of Washington, Oregon, northern part of California, most of New York. Then you go on over to Europe, and it covers all of France, almost all of Italy, most of Spain, Portugal, Germany, on around covering China, Kazakhstan, just most of the areas, most of the wine-growing regions fall within these parallels. If you drop down to 30 degrees north in the northern hemisphere, then you're covering almost all the United States, all of Europe and northern Africa, going into Asia. So seldom will you find wines growing out of these areas because, well, numerous reasons. Heat has a lot to do with it. Pierce disease, I've mentioned in previous programs, that is prevalent in the warmer climates. And so these are things that really stop it from that, from getting good grapes in there. But you can... it's just interesting, the fact that, again, 30 degrees south to 40 degrees south and 40 degrees north to 50 degrees north pretty much takes care of all wine-growing regions. Just an observation, just something to start out with there. French wines. The French have been growing wines forever. They are probably the, when someone speaks wine, France is more than likely the first one to come to mind for almost everyone. They have some of the best wines that you're going to find anywhere in the world consistently. Yes, California's beat them on blind tastings over the years here and there. But when you're talking about a consistently good wine, consistently good blends, France is always up there at the top. Nowhere else are you going to find such a long history of quality. Have set in the 1600s, they started to set standards for it. You're going to find a style and quality of the Bordeaux, Burgundy, the Rhone, Champagne, Loire, Alsace, all these classic regions of France. Also, France all falls within the parallels I just read you there. The whole country does, so it is able to produce a lot of stuff. They are mountainous in regions next to the ocean, more of a flatland. So you have the topography of just about any type of climate and soils that you want. Again, we can't talk about French wines unless we talk about terroir, the French word terroir. And I gave an explanation of this earlier. I will cover it again here quickly since we are talking about French wines. Terroir is spelled T-E-R-R-I-O-R. This is the interaction of the soil, the climate, the grapes, everything all put together to produce the best possible results in wine. We, English does not have an equivalent word for it. Some areas in the world don't really think that terroir has that much of an influence. They think the winemaker does influence it much more than terroir. But the French are very big on the fact that it is the interactions of the climate, soil, grapes, everything that goes into it before you get it into the winery to start making the wine that makes the biggest influence. So, again, we can't talk about French wines unless we understand the climate and soils and everything around concerning that. French were the first to start a system of codifying viticulture and horticultural practices by regions and stuff. We've talked earlier about Spain and about Italy and the designations they have for their wines there. and for the better wines and the less better wines and the table wine styles. These were all picked up from the French method, and these were all based on the French method. The French today has over 450 different appellations, d'original, which is your basic designations of wines and stuff. It's almost too many. Some people argue that the French are constantly adding new ones and everything, and little bitty farms, 20-30 acre farms, can apply and are sometimes granted designations. But overall, it is a method that has been used for many years, and it is something that has survived and shown some quality. The wine laws were established to show people what is good and what isn't, what is following certain practices and all that. In France, the first one, the appellation d'origine contrôlée, that's spelled A-T-P-E-L-A-T-I-O-N, appellation d'origine. D, the little mark, O-R-I-G-I-N-E, whatever that little mark is called. Do you know what that little mark is called above a letter?
No.
No, there's a name for it, but I don't know what it is. And that's the origin, Controle. Controle is like controlling. C-O-N-T-R-O-L-E-E. French, I apologize, as I do with every country that we embark on. I am not French. I don't speak French. So if I slaughter some of these words, please forgive. I am not trying to do it on purpose. It's just the fact that I don't know for sure. The Appellation d'origine contrôlée was established in 1935. There are now three categories which are officially regulated by what they call the Institut National d'Appellations d'Origine, or actually known as the INAO. It's the French highest marks that they give. The highest rank they give is the Appellation Contrôlée, or known as the AOC. This includes most all the famous wine-growing regions of France. These are the ones that the big names that you'll hear about, Montan Rothschild and many others. I'll mention some of those as we go into the first section here, as we talk about Bordeaux. The phrase Appellation Contrôlée, or AOC, is simply shortened to AOC most of the time. This name, loosely translated, actually means a controlled place name. It's comparable to designating a something like we have here in the United States, the AVA, American Viticulture Areas, or in, like I mentioned earlier, in Italy and Spain, the control areas. I say loosely because it's not really the same. The American Viticulture Areas, they have Napa, but the French controlled place name also goes into a lot more detail. The AOC law covers a lot of the aspects of the production of the wine, the geographical limits of the region and the vineyards. It covers the grape varieties that can be used in that region. It covers the minimum amount of alcohol the wine must contain. It also covers the maximum yield permitted per acre, and aspects of viticulture and vindication that represent history and tradition for that region, that go into a lot of details when they designate an area with this. It's not just like in Napa, we tend to say it's a Napa AVA, which means that the grapes have to come from Napa, and there's not a whole lot of other rules and regulations they got to follow. If it were the French designation and we gave it a French-type designation for Napa, then they would have to follow certain guidelines on how it's made, how many acres are designated in that, what the yield is per acre, and alcohol, all that. It really is pretty stiff category, the AOC. Second category is called the Vindepays, V-I-N-D-E-P-A-Y-S, VDP for short, which replaced the designation Appellation Régionale Simple in 1973. Just an easier understanding, easier way to handle it because of European common market rules and regulations that were being practiced and that are being practiced with the European Union now. These wines must come from a specified area, usually a broader area. You can, instead of saying Napa, you can say North Coast or Northern California or something, open up a bigger area like that. Basically, the Vindepays is a good value for the dollar. You're still getting some excellent wines, but you see a little less cost. And then at the bottom of the quality scales that they do, the third of the three is the Vindetable or table wines. These could be blends of anything. It's as long as it falls under the French pure food laws, you can put anything in it. And these are just a combination of anything. Your less expensive ones. Actually, you can get grapes in from anywhere. They can transport grapes in from across the border in Germany or Spain or Italy or any other area. If they're right next to another country and they want to use some of their grapes, they may do so. As long as it doesn't say on the bottle product of France, then they can use any type of grapes or anybody's grapes that they want. These are usually referred to as a zip code wine because they're usually just wines made in different areas just so they can usually sell it to the locals and people around the regions that they're in. And then the good stuff is usually shipped out to different countries around the world. Language on the label. The French labels tend to be a little bit confusing, to say the least. I want to go through a little bit of the language on the labels and mention some of the stuff that is on the labels of the French things. Quality designations. If you see Appellation d'Origine Contrôlée AC. These are wines whose geographical origins, varietal makeup, and production methods are precisely regulated. I wanted to read that just to be sure I covered everything. This is generally the best wines. These are constantly good wines with traditional methods of making them, the most classic methods that have been used in those regions for literally centuries. The next you might see on a label is called a Vindepays, which is a country wine, often from a big zone, big area. Again, like I said, it could be a Northern California designation, give you an idea of what it's like. Usually, this means higher yields of the grapes can be used, and it's not as stringent on putting them together and taking care of them. And then Vindetable, I just told you about that one. That is your basic wine, your table wines. Could be any great variety. Seldom is a vintage, but it is. It's just because all the grapes haven't come from that year, but it's not really that important. Other terms on the French labels that you probably want to familiarize yourself with is Blanc, B-L-A-N-C. That means white. So if you say a Blanc de Blanc, that really is saying it's a white on white wine. A Pinot Blanc is a white Pinot. So this is a simple way to designate white. Cave, C-A-V-E, or I That means corporative or corporative winery. There's lots of them in this country. Probably the most common known corporative winery in this country is the Gallo system. Gallo owns lots of wineries, and it does a lot of different ones and all that, and it all falls under the Gallo headquarters, the Gallo name, but there's a tremendous amount of wines under the Gallo corporative. Chateau. These are wine estates from or wines from an estate or a farm, typically used in the Bordeaux region. Chateau on the label, it could be Chateau Florida Estates Winery or the House of Florida Estates Winery. We use Chateau a lot on our wines. Chateau de Sceaux, just as our proprietary names. And I'm not sure how to pronounce this. I think it's Coteau D or Cotes D, C-O-T-E-S-D-E or C-O-T-E-A-U-X-D-E. This means hillsides. So if you see that designation on the French label, it means they have the grapes are growing on the hillside. Cru, C-R-U, literally means growth. It's a... Grand Cru is the most common term that we hear, means a great growth, and the Grand Cru designation usually refers to the great growth, but Cru can be used on any wines. It is the Premier Cru, Grand Cru, and stuff like that. Cru Classé, this is a Cru that's been selected as a classification, such as our 1855 Bordeaux. This is just a classic wine. Domaine, that's a vineyard holding. Burgundy is generally smaller scale answer to the Chateaus. Most of the time, your Bordeaux regions will talk about Chateaus, whereas the Burgundy regions will talk about domain. Grand Cru, literally great growth. I mentioned that earlier. It's the classic finest vineyards. Method Classique or Method Traditionnel. This is sparkling wine made from the classic method of making a champagne. This next one, I will apologize for even attempt to pronounce it. Miss Chateau Domaine La Proprietaire, I guess that's how you pronounce it. It's an estate bottled wine made from the same enterprise as grew the grapes. So it's if you grow the grapes and you make the wine out of it, you can label it this designation. We have something like that on American labels. If it says produced and bottled by or grown and bottled by or planted and bottled by. If it says produced, that means that the winery grew the grapes, and any other designation before the bottled by means that they could have bought the grapes. So we have something like that here. Most people don't know that, though. Négociant, that is a bottler. That's someone who buys the wine and does the bottling separately than the winery itself. Pre-cru literally means first growth. In Burgundy, you have four top winery chateaus that are classified with as a premier cru. Proprietor Récoltant, I think is pronounced. That's the owner, the vine grower, the combination of owner and vineyard. And again, the same word, récoltant is the wine grower. Récolte, R-E-C-O-L-T-E, is the vintage. You'll see récolte 1995 or something. That's the vintage. Rosé simply means pink. Rouge means red. Superior, means that it's usually just a little bit higher in alcohol than what you'll find in the average wines for that style. That's spelled S-U-P-E-R-I-E-U-R, superior. You see these, again, French wine labels. Violas vins, it means old vines, which in theory is supposed to mean better wines, older vines produces better grapes. Yeah, I agree with that philosophy. A lot of people don't. They say that the old vines don't mean too much of anything. But all the old vine growths that I've ever had have always been superior to the ones of the younger style. So, again, just a little aside. Vigneron, V-I-G-N-E-R-O-N, that means it's the vine grower. Village, that's a community, an area, an appellation, a parish, something like that, village, or villages, it looks like it's spelled, but it's village. Vin, V-I-N, is wine, and viticulture is, again, a vine grower. So there's just some designation, some names you will find on French labels that all mean something. Going into some more, boy, I'm not going to even finish Bordeaux tonight, just going to introduce to French wines. I just noticed the time. Bordeaux, this is probably the most prestigious wine-growing region in the world. It's birthplace of wine culture as we know it today. It's got tradition that dates back to 200-300 years. They've been growing grapes there for forever. It's a leading producer of high-quality red wines in the world, and it has been for, again, for over 200 years. Bordeaux is consistent. This is what makes them so different than others. They can consistently come out with great wines. Most all Bordeaux wines are blends. Seldom will you find a Bordeaux that is not a blend. Bordeaux uses the Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot grape extensively, and then the Cabernet Franc is used quite a bit in the blend of the three. The left bank, and I will explain that in a little bit, is the Merlot growing region, is the right bank being the Cabernet region, and Cabernet Franc is used to blend with the Cabernet and Merlot, blend with the Cabernet and each other. There is some usage of the Petit Verdot and Malbec in these areas, and all of them. But these are the five basic grapes you're going to find in the Bordeaux region. And again, a consistent, good wine year after year after year. And this is what makes them so so good, because of the consistency. Bordeaux region can do this for two or three reasons. It's got the ideal climate and soil conditions. It's positioned just off the Atlantic Ocean, in from the Atlantic Ocean, with rivers running down through it, and the soil and the regions that the graveliness in some regions and the clay in other regions give it just a classic soil. It also has a pretty stable, moderate climate, not real big swings of temperatures and stuff because of the influence of the Atlantic Ocean and the rivers. Forest on the ocean side helps protect it from the salt from the ocean, which can also cause problems with the grape growing. Also, the forest can protect it from excessive rainfall coming around from the oceans and stuff. Bedrock is the soil. Bedrock is full of nutrients and minerals. The topsoil is usually quite poor, though. This is one of the things for the Bordeaux region. And because the topsoil is so poor, the grapes tend to struggle more, which, I agree with the theory that if they struggle more, they tend to produce better grapes and better fruit, which results in a better wine. So I've always been an advocate of grapes that will struggle a little bit more. Doing that, they tend to reward us with a better wine. The second advantage, I mentioned that they have a few. Second advantage, I think, is very important, is the experience that they have. Bordeaux being around for over 200 years, and making quality wine year after year after year, and the blends that they know, and the blends that they know how to do, and knowing how to put the right amount of a cab mix with a Merlot or a cab with a Cabernet Franc has been passed down from generation to generation, and it continues to overwhelm anyone who has ever had one of those wines because of the history of their knowledge. And which leads into another advantage of the winemaking techniques. This is the experience and the techniques of the blending and all that over the years has continued to produce and probably will continue to produce some high quality wines from the Bordeaux region. Bordeaux produces a lot of Merlot and Cabernet that are reasonably priced. And in fact, the French wines are getting away from some of the blends and they're actually labeling their wines more of what's in them. And because of that, they're going with more Merlot and more Cabernet. And you'll see a few Cabernet Franc coming out of the region, not a whole lot varietal by itself. But it is the Merlot has always been used to blend with the cabs. The cabs in that region grow very strong, very powerful reds with lots of tannin, lots of dryness, lots of acid. And the Merlots are used as a blend to tone that down and soften it, along with the Cabernet Franc and the Petit Verdot and Malbecs to give it a more of a drink now type wine. Although they do cut back on all the blends when they are trying to when they do make the long aging wines that will last for hundreds of years, literally. Excuse me. The soil, climate, grapes, drainage throughout Bordeaux is yields some great wines. Everywhere from soft, easy drinking, like I just said, Merlot-based wines to Cabernets that are so strong that it just overpowers someone. The Bordeaux region is in the northern part of France. It is, well, I shouldn't say northern. It's more southern, actually. I'm sorry. I was thinking Champagne there. I was on Burgundy, northeast. Bordeaux, southwest. It is below the Loire Valley. It is north of Spain. It is the region that is in the skinniest part of France, there across from just up from Spain. The Gironde River and its tributaries, the Dordogne and the Gironde, I think the other one is pronounced, I'm not sure, Gironde, divide the Bordeaux regions into two distinct areas, two distinct zones. It's the left bank, and this is based on when you're looking at a map of the region, the left side of the map, or the left bank of the rivers, and the right bank, which is the right side of these rivers. The Gironde, particularly, is the major river. On the right bank, the soil is a very clay, limestone, sandy soil. It's more suited for Merlot styles than anything else. Merlot planted, quite extensively there. Whereas on the left bank, the gravel soil, the tough soil with the nutrients down much deeper, real thin topsoil, allows for the Cabernet Sauvignon to thrive and grow better. Excuse me again. The left bank, because of the fact that the grapes have to battle to live in that soil, produce big tannic Cabernet-based wines, real strong, powerful wines with your distinct black currant and leathery taste. There is five major districts in the left bank. These are, and we will talk about each of these. These are the Saint-Estèphe, Pulac, Saint-Julien, Margaux, and Graves. And these are within these regions, there are some of the classic wines, classic names that we've known. These are the five first gross chateaus, the top of the line classic ones from France. These are Chateau Latour, Chateau Lafite Rothschild. Chateau meaning, you know, estate or castle or whatever, castle actually. Chateau Montan Rothschild, Chateau Margaux, and Chateau Haut-Brion. Classic wines that will cost for a 750 milliliter bottle anywhere from $400 to $900. Strong, powerful aging wine, not ones that you're going to take home, open up, and have with your sirloin this evening. It's ones that you're going to be putting away, and your kids and grandkids will have a chance to enjoy them. And
that's amazing.
Hopefully think about you when they do. White wines are also made in the Left Bank. This is the region that has the Sauternes. The Sauternes region, Left Bank Sauternes region. Sauternes is probably the sweet wine of the world. Use the honey-colored, delicious sweet wine because of the sweetness that will age. There are two sweet wines you can age, and that is the Sauternes and the German Eiswines. These are classic wines that are very, very sweet because of the sweet level in them. They will age quite well. I've aged some sweet wine for many, many years, and it just was absolutely gorgeous when I got around to opening them. The Sémillon grape dominates the region, and it's the unfortified sweet wines. These are not fortified. You can get yourself a fortified wine like your ports and your sherries and all that that are sweet, but these are unfortified wines, means that the alcohol level is still down lower. Probably the Chateau de Yacombe is the classic one from this region. Sauvignon grapes also planted primarily in the Graves region and produces a very crisp, dry, citrusy Sauvignon Blanc. A lot like the New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, in my opinion. I've had the French Sauvignon Blancs, New Zealand Sauvignon Blancs, and they, to me, seem a lot alike. The Right Bank Merlot-based wines there usually are made in a more of a fruit-forward, less tannic style. The Right Bank also has two major regions that are popular, the Saint-Emilion and Pomerol. These contain over 900 individual producers there. So, and again, if you have yourself 6 acres and a house, you can become a producer. You find yourself a few acres of grapes and all that. The blend of Merlot and Cabernet Franc produces a little less tannic wine, softer, more of a drink now wine as opposed to those of the Left Bank where they're the cab base and they're much stronger, more powerful. The Saint-Emilion region, just west of the Saint-Emilion region is Pomerol. The smaller size area, wines there are just absolutely delicious, cheaper. Some of the wines you pull out of that area are just really, you can find real good price on them. Three-fourths of the area there is planted in the Merlot grape, which just really thrives in clay soil. The French have been growing the Merlot grape for centuries, and they've gotten themselves some wonderful Merlots out there. Just as a summary on the Bordeaux region, that doesn't mean I'm done. It's just I'm going to, before I go into specific areas here. The Bordeaux region grows the Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc, Petit Verdot, and Malbec. These are the four classic grapes that they grow there. These are the ones that they use for blending and getting your blended wines. The white wines, Sauvignon Blanc and Sémillon. The vineyard land they have in the Bordeaux region 319,000 acres planted, which is actually 2% of the world's vineyards.
Wow.
Representing 10% of the dollar value of all the wine exports in the world.
Mm.
So this is, but when you start charging $600-$700 for one bottle, that starts jumping up real fast there.
It does. Wow.
It is over, and this is an interesting stat here, is the Bordeaux region is over twice the acreage of all the vineyards in Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino, Monterey, and Santa Barbara counties combined.
Wow.
That's just in the Bordeaux region alone. Really a lot of acreage planted and grapes there. I mean, you know, it's amazing how much.
Mm-hmm.
They produce approximately 55 million cases every year, of which approximately 20 million cases are exported. And so it doesn't take a whole lot of math to forget that there's 35 million cases that stay in that country that's consumed. So they're drinking wine even as we speak. I mean, you know, they have to be. And there are over 13,000 growers in the Bordeaux region alone.
Wow.
So there's a lot of wine going out there. Let me start with a few of the regions of Bordeaux here, and I'm not going to get nearly all of them done, because just talking about the Bordeaux region alone is really quite a large region. Let's start with Saint-Estèphe. This is the most northerly region of the left bank in Bordeaux. The wines of Saint-Estèphe are known for their deep colors, a lot of tannins, generally high acidity, full-flavored, firm, put it away and age it for a million years type wine. The Cabernet Sauvignon is usually the most common grape that you'll find in this region. They're using more and more Merlot. They've used it for blending with Cabs to cut it down. They are, the Saint-Estèphe region is coming out with some wines that are a little bit younger and more drinkable to introduce more people to them. But they're actually noted for their powerful, intense wines that just walk across the room and pour themselves into your glass, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They have approximately 3,400 acres planted and produce 765,000 cases annually. So they are fairly large regions for them.
Mm-hmm.
Next region, just south of that, is Pauillac. It's spelled P-A-U-I-L-L-A-C, Pauillac. The Pauillac region is considered the wine capital of the Medoc. If you had to, you know, sing out one area of Bordeaux to have the list, probably be the Pauillac region. It's home of the classic first growth ones I just read to you, the Chateau Lafite Rothschild, Latour, and Montan Rothschild. The wines there, again, very powerful, very strong, aging wines. These are classic wines. If when you go to stores and start looking at scores on wines, these things almost invariably get 95 or above. They're just, you know, you begin to wonder if it's because they're worth it and is that really what they deserve, or is it because of who they are and that's why they get that. But
yeah.
Still, the quality seems to be there over and over again, and they command the price because of it. These are wines that you age. If you don't age it, decant it. If not, it's just going to overpower anything that you try to eat, and you'll lose flavors and taste as you drink it. So decant it, let it air out a little bit, let it soften those tannins, and then have it with some, you know, real strong, heavy, wholehearty, full-flavored red meats. That's really where the Pauillac wines are best. They have about 3,000 acres planted, and they produce 640,000 cases a year. They have a total of 18 Grand Cru class there, and a lot of your classic Chateau names that you hear out of France come from this region. Soil, gravel, soil with close to all the vineyards that are close to the river, all rather gravelly soil. And as you get further inland, the gravel starts mixing with sandstone. But again, it's really hard soil for grapes to grow in, which is struggling to produce a better wine. The Brouillac region is the gravel soil, because of that, produces a good drainage. So, you can get a tremendous amount of rains and stuff and not have to worry too much about the flooding of the grapes and all. The wines usually have a strong black kern or woody or spicy aromas and flavors to it. And again, like I say, they can be aged for years and years. It's just the wines that were found in Thomas Jefferson's cellar many years ago that people didn't even know were there were wines from this region. And sold them at auction for thousands of dollars a bottle. And people that had opened them and tasted them said it was well worth it. They were just absolutely gorgeous, delicious wines that aged so extremely well. Saint-Julien, S-A-I-N-T-J-U-L-I-E-N, Saint-Julien. This is just located just south of the Tayac, again on the left bank. It's very high standards. The Saint-Julien region has consistently been one of the premier areas for grapes and wines coming out of France. This closeness to the Gironde River gives good drainage, so the wines tend to be a little bit softer, and but gives you a richness in the color and balanced depth. Cabernet Sauvignon, again, is your main grape here with Merlot and Cabernet Franc used for blending. Again, I've mentioned this earlier, Merlot has been used for blending for years and years and years, and just came out as a varietal wine. I'd say not too many years ago. In the last 100 years, it started becoming more and more popular, and just within the last 50 years, it came out as a varietal wine that people find a lot of quality and characteristics in itself, but it was used to soften Cabernets for many years over in the Bordeaux region. Saint-Julien has 2,175 acres planted in grapes, and they produce almost a half a million cases a year, just shy of a half a million cases a year. The wines tend to have more finesse than you're going to find in the Bordeaux region. Consistent year after year. Again, this is something that the growers are particularly good at, keeping up this consistency, and the winemakers keeping up this consistency. There's new people that have been in the Saint-Julien region within the last 20, 30 years who are starting to produce a little bit lighter, softer style of wine, and ones that are readily drinkable. And they're giving good quality wines at a little bit less of a price, and yet having good vineyard designation and good regional designation. And because of that, not just in Saint-Julien, but a lot of the areas in the left bank, you're getting a lot of young, daring winemakers. Referred to there as the Young Turks. These are the ones that are jumping in and instead of doing the traditional heavy, strong method of grapes and wine that's coming out, they are softening them and they're making them a little bit more now friendly. The world is embracing it. The world is finding it to be extremely interesting and extremely enjoyable because they're able to enjoy some of these classic areas of grapes without having to pay an extreme amount of money and waiting for many years until they get to the point where you can enjoy them fully. A lot of these areas now are coming out with wines that can be enjoyed now and still have a lot of the quality in it that you find in the older aged wines. Margaux, M-A-R-G-A-U-X, Margaux. And I'll talk about Mark Vaughn. This will be our last one tonight, so we might be able to get the whole ending in tonight, telling about everything. So that was your key to cue it up there. I didn't know
what
you called
it. Okay.
Margolis is the largest area on the left bank. It is home of Chateau Margaux, the classic esteemed first growth Chateau Margaux. The soil in this area is probably the thinnest of any of the areas that you're going to find, with a lot of gravel underneath it. Because of the fact that a lot of gravel underneath the soil drains extremely well. So regardless of what the weather's like, you get very rainy years or dry years and all that, the grapes usually produce a highly fragrant, well-balanced, refined wine. They do have excellent aging potential coming out of this region. Cabernet Sauvignon, again, being the predominant grape, with Merlot and Cabernet Franc used as blending, different percentage, not exclusively, but different percentages for different areas. Margaux, elegant, finesse, just a silky wine. I've had a chance to have a Chateau Margaux wine years ago, and it left such an impression on me because it was just such a gorgeous wine, just velvety in the mouth. I mean, you hear these descriptions of wines having this velvety feel to it, and the Chateau Margaux I had was it's just the closest I've ever felt to actual velvety taste of a wine, just completely. It was absolutely delicious. 3,350 acres planted, produce 640,000 cases of wine a year. They have a total of 21 Grand Cru Class A regions in the Margaux area. Margaux is battled off and on for different years. They they were very inconsistent for a number of years, particularly in the 60s and 70s. And then, again, the younger people came in and more money came into it, and they started to produce a great wine that has risen back up to its previous qualities. And it's a wonderful wine. The wines produced from the surrounding vineyards, Haut-Médoc, and then the different areas around there have all benefited from the Margaux region and the Margaux grapes. So I'm going to stop here for tonight. We've got 7 minutes to go. We'll continue on with the Bordeaux region next week, and maybe along the left bank, and finish the left bank, going to the right bank, and maybe start out, depending on how much I talk, with Burgundy, going to the Burgundy region, which is another classic region of France.
Right. Cool. Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Thanks.
They finally
started drinking. They're not as excited now.
Yeah. Yes. And let's see. The little character that was above the letters is a diacritic or a diacritical mark.
Oh, okay.
So I have a full, I've got about an hour and a half worth of material I can read just on diacritic. So I'll start at the top.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. But
I'll drink the wine and listen to you now. Diacritic, is it? I've never heard of that term.
Yeah, diacritic. Diacritical mark, point, diacritical sign. There's all kinds of information. It's been used in so many different languages, like Arabic alphabets, Greek, Hebrew, Korean, Sanskrit. There's all kinds of all kinds of information. Diacritic, yes.
It gives an emphasis to that particular letter, or you don't know that.
It's to change the sound value of the letter.
Oh, okay.
So
okay,
yeah. Like if you put facade, you know, it's F A C with a diacritic on it, A D E, You think it's not pronounced that way, but that's just kind of...
it's not a facet, it's a facade.
Yes, so, yeah. Oh. Or instead of like a K sound for the C, since the C has a diacritic on it, it sounds like an S. So it's just a way to say it has a different sound to it. So
instead of writing a new letter, they just put a diacritic on it.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Anyway.
And all you teachers out there, we're sorry.
Yes. Yes. That's why they're teachers, and, you know, we just...
And we're not.
I just pulled another glass. Okay. Let's see. We cannot step away from here without mentioning this coming weekend.
That's right.
Yeah, August 29th. The Wine Festival and Market is... it's back, and this is going to be great. It is 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. That is this Saturday. Mark your calendars. You can book a flight. I think Southwest flies directly into Land O'Lakes.
And, I think it is, yeah. Pretty close to it anyway. Either that or San Antonio, Florida, one of the two.
San Antonio International Airport. Oh, wait. You know, yes. There actually is a San Antonio. I better not do that. People fly into Texas and go, where's the winery?
No, San Antonio, Florida.
Yeah, San Antonio, Florida. You can fly directly into San Antonio International. Wesley Chapel International has an international airport. Yeah. No, they don't, actually.
Those are the San Antonio and Wesley Chapel is two closest. So.
Yeah, there you go. We would recommend Tampa, though, because that is big enough for a jet. And but once you get there, you want to head north, and you want to go up Interstate 75. You can go up U.S. 41. Go to State Road 52. It's between U.S. 41 and Interstate 75. It's actually 4 miles west of Interstate 75. Look for the winery there, off of State Road 52, on State Road 52. But this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., and I did...
Lots of vendors booked. Lots of vendors.
Yeah, I'm looking for my email. Am I... I missed it or something.
You haven't gotten it yet?
No.
I've talked to my engineer.
Your engineer?
He has been sick, so I don't know.
Okay, well, that's explained. The vendors, you can check out the website, FloridaEstatesWines.com, for photos and information. That is August 29th, this Saturday, day after tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern for Wine Festival and Market. You can always go out there 7 days a week and sample some of the world-class wines that they have there at the winery. So let's see, Wine Class, the next one coming up is September 19th. That
right.
is, mark your calendars for that. It is a three-hour...
Good one last week. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. And follow Florida State's Winery on Facebook. Follow on there, and you'll get all kinds of neat updates and everything on things that are going on at the winery, including the wild boar issue. But
the wild boar issue.
That was the latest.
Now you're going to have to sign up to find out what we're talking about.
Right. If you want to know more about wild boar and what they're doing there, that's pretty funny. Anyway, we do the weekly show here at 7 p.m. each Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. We welcome your calls, your comments. You can write to us. You can write to the winery directly. You can contact me here, and I have contact information and everything coming up right after this. This is Loud Boy Music. That's not it. You know.
There we go again.
You know,
that's Spanish.
One of these days, we're going to do something on Spain. We didn't do Spain. On Mexico or something, and I'm going to have a French...
have it all set and ready to go.
But by then I'll have that erased. Check out the winery. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. daily, 7 days a week. You can go... Yeah, you can go 11
anytime.
6 p.m.
Stop by, taste wine, talk with me.
It's always a great day at the winery.
Always a great day at mine. Thank you again, Mike.
Thank
I always enjoy this.
Absolutely. And we'll see you all next Thursday, right?
Next Thursday, yeah. Join the bus if you like.
Yes, bus groups. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the charter companies to call me up and go, okay, what's going on here? Okay. We have the outro coming up. We're done for this evening, but come back with us next week, and you can also listen to this on iTunes. You can also listen to it in the archives. Right here on Blog Talk Radio. Here comes the outro. Thank you for listening. And
this concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@floon.com. That's corp@floon.com. at flewn.com or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. For information on our show and music stream, visit us on our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/ChicoDog1. That's D-A-W-G and the number 1. Email address is podcast@ChicoDog.com. Follow the show on Twitter at twitter.com/MikeWCFL. WCFL as in Wesley Chapel, Florida. If you have a topic you would like to discuss on air, please contact me. Chico Dog Live is a weekly talk show hosted on Blog Talk Radio. We encourage our listeners to participate in our online chat room or call us on air at 646-727-3235 and tell your friends and family about us. This episode will be available as a free download on iTunes and our Blog Talk Radio show page. Thank you for listening to the program. We'll see you next week on Chico Dog Live.